I'm Anthony Irwin. Today on the show, we got news today that LeBron James is considered doubtful to play against the Milwaukee Bucks. We got better news, though, as Anthony Davis was finally recognized for doing something individually. He got Western Conference Player of the Year. The Lakers got some help around the league, from the San Antonio Spurs specifically. And then it was one of the weirder days in sports that I can recall in a little bit, in that you had Shohei Ohtani doing a press conference on the fact that he didn't, or I guess it's hard. I guess it's too early to say the fact that, but according to Shohei, he didn't do any gambling, that it was all his former translator. As he's holding this press conference, news drops in the NBA that Jontay Porter pretty clearly appears to have been betting on himself, and potentially like doing some stuff on the court to make sure that those bets would convey to the benefit of others. So you got that. You got him potentially throwing games. And then, you know, if there's time, there's a question here in the iTunes mailbag that I want to get to really quickly as well. Let's get to all of that here in a second. But first, please do hit that subscribe button. If you're watching live on YouTube, if you're watching on Twitter, please hit that. Head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge. If you're watching or listening in the morning in podcast form, hit that subscribe button everywhere that you get your podcasts, preferably Spotify or preferably Odyssey. And I am Anthony Irwin of Lakers Daily. Last thing here, and I'm going to start saying this more often in these shows. If you have friends who are looking for Lakers content and stuff like that, let them know, hey, there's this weirdo who appears to know way too much and he probably should know about things that are going on with the Lakers. Maybe, you know, a little annoying when it comes to some of his stances, and a little too stubborn about almost everything, but he has guests that you might like. Yeah, I got to get back to figuring out how to sell the show. We start, though, with news that LeBron James is now considered doubtful against the Milwaukee Bucks, first game of this road trip. You can kind of see why the Lakers would maybe do this. If they have this is the front end of a back-to-back, and they might consider this game less winnable than the back end of it. They have some winnable games ahead on this road trip, so you may as well rest LeBron up as much as you possibly can so that you can definitely take care of business against those other teams. So you can kind of see this one coming a little bit, as much as you can with LeBron's availability. Once again, right, there was no talk of this after the last game. You knew it was a back-to-back, and maybe it was kind of optimistic to hope that he would play on both ends of it. But I just keep on kind of chuckling at like the way that the Lakers kind of handle injury information, where it's just kind of like, well, let's talk to the player. We don't do that here. The thing that I would kind of point out here with LeBron missing this one, Rui has tended to play pretty well in games that LeBron didn't play in. There's some overlap between their two skill sets and the areas on the court that they would like to fill, especially offensively. And, Pascal Siakam really kind of took it to Rui in the last game, so much so that, Darvin went with Cam instead of Rui to finish. Some of that might have to do with how Cam played against Tyrese Maxey and stuff like that. But, I'd still prefer to have the more talented player out there. This is kind of a big one here for Rui. Kind of get back on track, see what you can do being physical with Giannis Antetokounmpo and a big Milwaukee Bucks team. They are just a big group. And especially now that Chris Middleton is back, I believe he's playing in this one. I do believe that I think Rui will play pretty well here. I'm hoping he does, certainly. And, you know, for Anthony Davis, you know, Giannis always tends to really kind of take it to his chest. And I would like to see AD respond well physically to that challenge as well, especially with LeBron not out there. I don't think that this is like a surefire loss for the Lakers here. The Bucks have been kind of volatile this year. They're running a lot more pick and roll with Dame. Obviously, we saw the Lakers beat the Bucks once this year as Harrison came on right afterward to laugh at Damian Lillard. And, you know, I do kind of wonder if the Lakers can maybe sneak one here even without having LeBron. Yeah, you're playing on the road. Yeah, it's the first game of a road trip, and sometimes that travel can kind of mess with you a little bit. And you know, there's some stuff here going on, though, with that matchup between the Lakers and the Bucks that make me wonder, maybe, just maybe, you know, at the very least, can you make a game out of this one? And, you know, can you rip off an extra win here that really takes advantage of some of the help that you got elsewhere around the league, which, you know, obviously we're going to talk about here in a second. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk about Anthony Davis. He finally gets recognized for something individually. I want to be kind of not careful. I don't really care what people think about like my stances on stuff like this, but I do really feel like Anthony Davis is like one of the more unique players in terms of the narrative surrounding him. I think that with AD, here's how I'll say it. His highs are some of the like most spectacular basketball you'll ever watch, like especially defensively, right? And when he has it going offensively and defensively at that level, like he did in the bubble a few years back, I remember the conversations after that one was like, man, could this guy really be like the best player in the league, right? And he has that kind of talent. For whatever reason, you know, he doesn't always play up to that level. And I think the gap between floor and ceiling with him is pretty frustrating as well. But I also think that like the way that people talk about him, you would think that he's just like, you know, some kind of schmo. And especially the way that he gets talked about around the league where, you know, he's not really going to be considered for Defensive Player of the Year this year, despite holding together an absolute disastrous defensive roster, especially once Vanderbilt went back or went down, you know, and missed as much time as he's missed this year. You guys hear me, right, talk about Anthony Davis. I can get frustrated with him too, but I can also acknowledge that this guy is just incredible. And for some reason, those conversations about AD kind of leak into his perception in the like and his availability or his candidacy for these types of awards and this type of recognition. And that's always been really weird to me. I don't know if there are people still holding against him the way that he left New Orleans, which, you know, certainly a choice. I understand why people in New Orleans would do that, but I don't know really why the national media would do it, especially the people who vote on stuff like this. Maybe it's that inconsistency and some of the availability stuff that people get kind of annoyed with. Okay, I could kind of see that. But it's super weird, given the basketball that we've watched him play this year, that this is the first time this season Anthony Davis would win this award. You look at the numbers he's put up in some of the weeks that he's had, and yeah, he's doing so in a stacked Western Conference that has some guys who get more opportunities to compile offensive stats, and that's usually the basis for some of these things. We just suck at talking about defense, and I think that obviously plays a role here as well. It was just super weird that, like, for whatever reason, this guy just can't quite get that respect. I remember heading into the season, they were talking about, like, best defenders in the league, and he didn't get enough votes to get, like, a percentage point. He was, like, also receives recognition type of respect for Anthony Davis. And that's just, that's absolutely insane. I don't understand that. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. So, you know, seeing this and seeing him get this recognition, he's the kind of guy who most of this type of conversation kind of rolls off of his back, kind of like water on off of duck feather. But I do think, though, that he's also a very kind of thoughtful guy. And I'm sure there are times where he's sitting there wondering, like, what do I got to do to, like, get into those conversations? And some of it is there is stuff that he can literally do to get into those conversations more regularly. But yeah, this was good to see for him. I'm sure he's enjoying this. I know that he's probably going to give a quote about how what matters more is team success, and his focus is on getting the Lakers to the best seed that they can get, or getting them playing the best basketball they could possibly play as they get ready for the play-in or playoffs. But he's a human being, and it's always silly when athletes pretend like people talking about them doesn't matter. You always hear Aaron come on this show to say that those guys hear and see almost anything that, you know, people in the media say about them. They have people who point that stuff out to them, and they're humans, right? They want to be talked about in a positive way. And in this case, he was. So shouts to AD for his incredible week. Goes 3-0. And, you know, the numbers that he put up were pretty insane. For the week, he averaged 27 points, just under 17 boards, 4.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 2 blocks. And you know, as I said earlier, the Lakers went 3-0 for the week. So one hell of a week for Anthony Davis. And apparently this is what he needs to do all the time to get that kind of recognition. All right, we do have a super comment here, so I'm going to go ahead and play this bad boy. Fuck Washington! Brandon Oming writes, right now the top 8 looks like LeBron, AD, D'Lo, AR, Rui, Vando, Dinwiddie, and Torian Prince. Wood probably out for the season. Hayes, Christie, Reddish, Odman out. Not sure about Gabe. I talked about Gabe yesterday. I'm keeping a close eye on this situation just to see if the information changes or whatever. But, you know, as it stands right now, I guess he was warming up before last game. And certainly Gabe's camp is hopeful that he's able to make a return. But with AR, with D'Lo, with Dinwiddie, I would be pretty surprised if there was any, like, serious consideration here for Gabe being in that rotation, even if he does return. That top 8, Bron, AD, D'Lo, AR, Rui, Vando, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Torian Prince. I don't know if I would consider Vando in there either right now physically. So, you know, that might open up some opportunity for Reddish or Hayes. More likely Reddish there, given his defensive skill set. Probably Christie is going to be the odd man out here. I just don't think that Darvin particularly trusts him. Torian is going to be interesting because he's obviously fallen down the rotation, but the Lakers look pretty good when he plays like 17-ish minutes a game. And you need guys to be able to knock down shots and stuff in those smaller roles in the postseason. So I think he's probably in the rotation. Look, he underwent surgery, and maybe he's available in the postseason. But as it stands right now, like, again, you're talking about a guy who's missed, you know, considerable time, and would have to go through conditioning and would have to go through, you know, get his rhythm back. And then, you know, whenever he does return, he'd be returning to playoff basketball. That's a lot to ask for somebody. So I don't think Wood is factoring into my math here at all, really, either. So you're looking at Hayes, maybe Reddish sneaking in there to replace Vando. And, you know, it makes you a little small because, you know, you're talking about Vando and Wood being two of your bigger guys. Wood was playing really good basketball next to LeBron, so it's really kind of a bummer the way that his season winds up playing out. But that does appear to be your playoff rotation there. Let's see. Isaac Villanueva asking, what happened to LeBron James? I think it's just injury management. I don't think anything happened per se. I think he and the Lakers are looking ahead at the schedule and, you know, consider this game a little less likely that they can win. So he wants to make sure. And you know, I don't think it's very realistic to expect him to play every game from here on out. So they kind of looked at this one as like, well, we'll see how this one goes and we'll make sure we can take care of business against the teams that you have to stack wins against. Excuse me. All right. I'm going to go ahead and answer a iTunes mailbag question. Maybe talk a little about Shohei Ohtani and get you guys out of here. All right, so the iTunes mailbag question is kind of navel-gazy, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. This is from somebody with a bunch of question marks in their name. Who is the most surprising listener you've ever heard that was an active listener or maybe tuned in a few times that caught you by surprise? And follow up on this, if it wasn't someone in the league, obviously you've had Lonnie on the show. But have you ever heard of any player, old or active, that was a Laker that listened to the pod? All right, so players actively listening to the show, that doesn't, I don't think there are too many players that are listening to like podcasts about the team that they play on. Most of those people have handlers that tune into that stuff and make sure that people are talking about them correctly. I do hear that players hear about things that I say, but I'd be pretty shocked if somebody was like subscribed to the pod, you know, a player was actually subscribed to the pod. In terms of like non-players and in terms of league personnel, I've been told people really high up in the organization listen to the show. You know, Rob in particular, it'll be interesting when I go to Vegas this next year, what those conversations look like between us two. That'll be interesting. But no, the ones that really kind of take me aback are the people who I've always looked up to in the industry. You guys know me. I talk a lot about the industry. I care a lot about this stuff. And there are a lot of people that I really look up to. Doris Burke has told me or has made it known, I guess, that she listened to Locked On Lakers and then listened to the stuff at Vox and then now does now with this stuff. The day that she followed me on Twitter, I actually bragged about it to Jen on you know, and got some, scored some points there. She really likes Doris Burke. But there are other like people kind of like that, you know, like the people who I'm always kind of taken aback where somebody, I'll meet somebody in Vegas and I'll say, oh my God, I've followed your stuff for years. Really big fan. Really nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we love your stuff. And I'm like, why? Oh, well, I appreciate it, but why? It's always a kind of a cool feeling there. All right. I don't like talking about myself, so I'm going to just move on awkwardly. Last thing I wanted to talk about today was a super surreal moment. And Isaac Villanueva is asking, right, do you think Ohtani will be suspended? I'm not a baseball guy. I would be pretty surprised. I mean, they're going to go through a whole investigation, and we'll see how that turns out. Ohtani sounded pretty adamant that this was just his translator. There are certainly questions, right? I can't imagine his translator was making enough money personally to be able to have like a $4.5 million gambling tab that is alleged to be the number here. So that certainly seems a little weird. Most bookies. Now, the one thing I would even say there though, is once a bookie realizes that you're good for it, and if Ipe was, stealing money from Ohtani to pay off those debts and was showing the bookie that he was good for the money, the bookie is just going to keep taking the money. That's why gambling is so scary because of how addictive it is. And, you know, those bookies don't give a single bleep about you. So, you know, in this case, that if you want to answer one of those questions that way, you can. I obviously would have preferred for Shohei to answer some questions today from the media, you know, asking how did you just now find this out? Like, what is your relationship like now? All of those things. Like, I would like to know some of that, right? If Ipe is, you know, made available ever, I'd have some questions for him, obviously, too. And there's going to be an investigation to figure some of this stuff out. What was super weird and super surreal was, as all that is going on, Woj comes out with a report that Jontay Porter is being removed from the lineup for the Toronto Raptors because of some like weird betting on his part or betting on his numbers, that he kept on coming in on the under. And people were betting huge amounts of money on Jontay Porter's under statistics. And, you know, they're conducting an investigation there as well as to whether or not Jontay was aware of those things and whether he did any of that betting himself. And, you know, the reason I say surreal and I keep using that word is it reminded me, obviously not apples to apples in any way whatsoever. But I remember the day that Rudy Gobert was found to, you know, it was announced that he had COVID and the league was shutting down, and some of the steps along the way that got you there, everything felt so surreal. And you're just kind of looking around like, man, this doesn't appear to be heading in a very good direction. And I'll never forget, like, I remember Jen and I had just gone out for sushi. We were waiting to pay our bill. And, the news comes out about Gobert and I'm like, babe, we have to go. So I just dropped cash on the table, that would more than cover the tip, and then got out of there. Right. And so I got out of there as quickly as I possibly could, excuse me. And so I'm like, I'm looking today. I watched Shohei's press conference live and this dropped. So I'm like, this feels like one of those moments that we're going to kind of look back on and laugh as we still try to navigate these waters with gambling. And they're super tricky. They just are. Like, gambling is very addictive. It is, you know, hugely, hugely addictive. And I personally have a very addictive personality, and as a result, I basically just like, I have my amount of money that I will sometimes play with, but for the most part, like, I am very careful about the way that I go about that and the way that I talk about it on the show, right? And all of that stuff. And it's just, it's something that like has ruined millions of lives in the past. And, you know, for a long time, the NBA wouldn't even have a team, still doesn't have a team in Vegas because of potential connections to gambling. And now you have League Pass basically like fielding bets while people are watching the show. Meanwhile, like, there are going to be kids watching that, right? Like, and even by kids, like, I'm not talking about like my kids' age, but, you know, you're going to have an entire generation of kids that grew up around sports, and they are going to, you know, be looking for the adrenaline hit that comes from winning a bet. And we're getting them into that behavior really early. And, you know, that makes me a little nervous. And all while this is going on, shoot, a lot of this is paid for with gambling revenue, ad revenue that comes from gambling companies. And you know, there's a conflict of interest when it comes to the people who are talking about this stuff, covering this stuff, reporting on this stuff, and their bosses and their bosses, corporate partners, who probably don't want the extent to like the kind of filthy underbelly to be of this culture to be discussed by their corporate partners. So I don't know how that's going to go. So like while Shohei's thing, like it's obviously interesting and we'll see what happens with his, you know, potential suspension or whatever fallout that comes from this. And obviously going to keep an eye on the Jonte thing. And we have heard of NFL players and college athletes getting in trouble with gambling issues of their own. And I am just kind of nervous about, you know, the really fast rollout to all of this. Like one day you just woke up and it was like, oh, this is okay now, huh? Because I've always been interested in this stuff. I'm pretty good at math. I spend a lot of time looking at basketball and looking at sports, played fantasy football and basketball, you know, basically my whole life, my whole adult life. And, you know, for me, you know, given how addictive my personality is, I understand how aware of those things I have to be here moving forward. And I'm a little nervous at how quickly we went from that is absolutely taboo to, nah, it's all right. Like, and then not only is it, it's all right to like, no, like keep betting. You know, the NBA is like, come on, get on in here. Let's have our fun. This is only really that much fun if you have action on the game. And I'm like, this is something that we want to like really hug that way. So the whole situation, I don't know what's going to come out of it. I do think Jonte Porter is probably going to get the book thrown at him, which is super ironic given how lenient the league has been with some of the other stuff that has taken place this year, right? Freaking Miles Bridges is still playing. No real book thrown at him. So I'll be curious to see like how this Jonte Porter thing comes out. And I do think that there's probably going to have to be more transparency, not just with the league and the players for what they are allowed to do, but, you know, the league and us to tell us like what we should maybe be looking for. And I think the league might rely on us, but that feels kind of gross also, while we are, again, making, you know, gambling money is basically holding up the entire sports media industry right now. All of the biggest partners basically are gambling partners. And so that's going to make all of this tricky as well. So I started by saying this was a real surreal moment earlier today. And I'm kind of looking at this and I'm like, yeah, eventually I think we're going to be heading towards a kind of moment of reckoning on all of this stuff. And I do kind of think whenever that comes, I'm probably going to look back on today and be like, that was kind of a silly day that I can't help but think about here moving forward. So, I again, to those of you who do participate in that stuff, be careful, set a limit, don't chase bets. You know, if you know, put your like just really regiment the stuff is essentially how I do it, right? And you know, only gamble on stuff that you feel super duper confident about. And go about it that way. But I will see what comes out of the Shohei thing. I'm really curious to see what comes out of it because he's not going to talk. He's not going to address this again moving forward. His team is very, you know, they rule with an iron fist in terms of access and reporting about him. The Dodgers are obviously in, you know, like, pardon the pun here, but pot committed with Shohei. So they're going to have to support him as much as they possibly can as well. Ipe seems to be like a really kind of fraudulent character. But you know, that's always the first steps with these kind of scandals is to throw dirt on the other person, to make the accused or potentially accused look better. I don't know where this is going to go. Hopefully not too far. And hopefully we get to keep on watching Shohei play for the Dodgers, I guess. All right. That is enough me kind of waiting around in all of that. And let's move on. All right. Last thing before we get you out of here, we have the Lakers will be in action tomorrow or tonight by the time you guys are listening to this. It is a nice early tip for myself. I'm very selfish on these matters. It is a 7:30 Eastern daylight savings time tip, which makes it a 6:30 tip my time, 4:30 on the West Coast. So hopefully we're all able to catch that game. Again, I do think that the Lakers can be competitive in this one. We've seen it before. We've seen the Lakers play well in some spots without LeBron. I think they have enough on-ball creativity to help the offense. The defense will suffer a little bit because they just don't have very much size with LeBron out. But we'll see how this one goes. We'll see how this one goes. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you later.